I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is where you will hear stories behind the stories, truths behind the headlines, the lying mainstream media, and the ridiculous two-party propaganda. This is Central Mississippi's safe space to us independent thinkers out there that don't take our marching orders from political parties or politicians. We judge the news from an independent point of view here. It's Friday, so got a couple of segments I do every Friday. Got a short, I do False Flag Friday to give you some historical context as I try to make the case for stopping the endless empire building and endless wars around the world, countries that haven't done anything to us. I have done a segment now for probably just about a year where I give you the historical examples of ways that nations, not only ours, but around the world, have been lied into wars for Americans. It's happened fairly recently. So we talk about those things, but I got to admit, today's segment's going to be kind of short. It was a pretty calm week on the foreign policy front, I guess with the Mueller dog and pony show. They knew they couldn't run two really big stories at the same time. When you've got political theater that's that big, you need to make sure you let the people really absorb it. You don't want to distract them with something else. So for right now, things in the Middle East are seem to be fairly calm. I would imagine in next week or so we'll have more to report on there, but I'll do that segment, and then we will finish up the show with a fairly long segment. I've got a lot to look at when you look back at the week of the lunatic left, some funny, some ironic, some just flat-out pathetic clips of what's going on with the left in the past week. The news to me, there's days I try to get ready for the show, and I look at stuff, and there's a lot of times I'll bite into a story, and I've got one here. But the news is almost like Groundhog Day. I tune into Fox or talk radio, and I'm still hearing. Steele dossier, Russian meddling. Another Middle Eastern country is a threat to the entire world. It is the same headlines over and over. The players sometimes change a little bit, but the same thing over and over. So we're going to take a look today, spend some time on some legislation that passed yesterday in Washington, D.C. It is the budget deal. Now, I read this story about the budget deal. I spend a little bit of time here talking about spending because I want people to really have a grasp of exactly what is going on in Washington, D.C. in our children's and our grandchildren's name. I really got to tell you, I think I'll be okay. I'll coast on out of here, and if things fall apart, I'll coast into retirement and eat my cat food or whatever I need to do. But my poor children, they're 18. They're going to want to start a career in the next 4, 5, 6, 7 years. And I hate the fact that we are destroying opportunity for future generations. So that's why I talk about it here. Before I get to that, though, one of the other Groundhog Day headlines that keeps coming up is the Federal Reserve needs to cut rates. Now, that we just had the second quarter GDP was announced this morning. And why would the Federal Reserve want to cut rates and make savers suffer? All of those of you out there who buy CDs or put money into savings account or just keep a little cash at the house, why in the world would the Fed want to cut rates if we have this booming economy? Is this the greatest economy that our country's ever seen? Because we are told this fairly repeatedly by Donald Trump and many in the mainstream media that tell us the economy's humming along. Second quarter GDP came in at 2.1%. Well, I believe first quarter GDP was north of 3%. Now, these are annualized numbers, so you don't get a full picture for what 2019 actual GDP will be until all four quarters are in. We'll find that out first part of next year. It is certainly not the 4 or 5% that people were hoping we'd see under Donald Trump. 2.1% is nothing to really write home about, although it did beat expectations. Expectations were for a very small amount at 1.8%, so it did significantly beat predictions. But here was the line as I was reading through the GDP stuff, and I spent a lot of time yesterday in the show talking about everything that's fake, and one of the things that's fake that's so heavily massaged and manipulated are GDP numbers, inflation numbers, unemployment numbers. I've done shows on this before. If you want to get a real feel for how economics, how unemployment, how GDP, all of these true numbers, you need to check out a site called shadowstats.com. It's an economist. His name is John Williams, and he actually tracks things taking into account the way they used to record some of these numbers. See, they've made a lot of changes to the way they report inflation and GDP and unemployment over the years to make it look better so that we don't take to the streets like the people of Puerto Rico or France. They just changed the way the reporting's done. Go to shadowstats.com. You can see what unemployment numbers would be right now if they were reported the same way they were in, say, 1991. You'll see what GDP might be if it was reported the same way that it was in 1982. So they've changed these things significantly to try to make themselves look better. As Donald Trump said while he was campaigning, government statistics are all lies, designed to make politicians look good. But here's the line, as I was reading through the GDP story today to kind of see where everything was. Personal consumption was way up, so people are partying there. Credit card debt is way up. The spread, this was actually kind of an interesting thing from another story too. The spread between what banks borrow money at and what they charge their consumers on credit cards, I believe, is at record highs now. The banks are making out like bandits. They are able to borrow cheap and charge their consumers a larger spread than at any time in history. But this is what I found in the GDP report. Government spending boosted the bottom line second quarter GDP by 0.85%, the biggest contribution to GDP since 2009, as it climbed by a whopping 5%. Now, to translate that to people who don't really care about GDP, and your eyes are glazing over as you hear me discuss these things, what this means is that the federal government is now going out and borrowing over $1 trillion a year. I think last year we ended up running a full account deficit of something like $1.3 trillion. They're going out and borrowing trillions of dollars and then spending it. And this gets reflected in GDP. What doesn't get reflected in GDP? The debt that it took to actually spend this money. But see, this is one of the kind of screw jobs. It's part of why I say these things are fake. This is not the productivity of the American economy, which is the greatest economic engine the world has ever seen, grew at, 2.1 minus 0.85? So we're looking at around 1.3% is the actual GDP from productive sides of the economy, you know, goods and services that American businesses put out. 1.3%. This is supposedly the greatest economy that God has ever placed on this planet. I say that is not true. But government spending added another almost full percent, 0.85% of the 2.1% GDP was government spending based on debt. This is not going to end well. Let me just tell you. Now, this new budget deal, which we'll talk about when I come back, there is a story about this. As I read through this, it is so in your face as to what politicians' motivations are when they vote for crippling debt for future generations. I don't know if you will hear this story the same way I heard it, but it was like every paragraph. You know, I really wasn't going to spend a whole lot of time on this. I've already talked about the budget deal when they announced that they had come to this agreement and how much extra spending it was. But I started reading the story about the actual vote yesterday and the way that it came down, and I clipped one paragraph and put it onto my notes page for the day. And then I kept reading, and then I'd clip another paragraph. I've got just about the whole story because I got enraged by just about every paragraph, because to me, this kind of lays bare exactly what the political motivations are for spending future generations into debt that they can never pay back with catastrophic consequences. You may not believe me. There are people out there, particularly on the left now, who believe in this new thing called modern monetary theory, which is you can just print up as much as you want. You put it out there. Everything goes great. When things are getting better, you kind of suck it back in. There's no consequences to endless debt. This is a theory that is going to be used to bolster increased government spending until the whole house of cards comes crashing down. You may be a subscriber to that. It's never worked in the history of the world. And let me just say, if just printing out a bunch of money and just spending a bunch of money at the government level worked, why hasn't everybody done it for all of time since we've had money? There's a reason that these things haven't happened before. We have not changed the laws of economics. Yes, we've introduced some new tools and tricks, but it will not change the end result. So we're going to talk about this budget deal because I swear, as I read through this thing, I just got madder and madder and madder. Because what you would think, what we would kind of assume when we vote for somebody is you think, well, there are certain needs this country has and they need to be addressed. And so they just go in there and they make a budget and they put the money where it needs to go. There's a large swath of the American people who probably believe that. But for those of us who know that these people, this political class in Washington, D.C., on both sides of the aisle, cannot be trusted, this story was really gross. And it's not a story. It's just a news account of exactly what happened with this budget deal. I'll get to that when I come back. And I'll see if it hits you the same way it hits me. Stay with me. This is the Mike Madison Show, 1039 WYAB.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 1039 WYAB. You want to join the show today, 601-879-0002. Yesterday, they passed the budget deal. They passed a spending bill yesterday, and I'm going to read a little bit of the story about it. This was on, I believe, The Hill. It's just really kind of an accounting of exactly what took place yesterday, which to me is really anger-inducing. I'm going to read you, I think this was the first sentence. I take these stories, I highlight parts of them that I want to make sure I bring up on the show. I don't pull up the entire story so that I can, for some level of brevity, although I'm going to spend some time on this. And this was, I believe, the first sentence of the story. Again, with Americans operating under this assumption that we elect our representatives to go to Washington, D.C. and to fund the essential elements of our federal government and be good stewards of the American tax dollar. I mentioned again, as I spent time this week talking about the fact that 537 guys and gals in Washington, D.C. sit around and they decide how much of your money, the money that you earn, you wake up every morning, you put off vacations, you spend time away from your family, many of you doing jobs you probably don't really care for, and they decide how much of that income that you earn they get to take. And if they don't take it, if you resist, they'll put you in a cage. This is 537 people make these decisions for 325 million of us. I mean, I am just constantly floored by that, yet I know I'm fairly alone in that. We grumble a little bit about taxes, but just to think about the fact that this group of people, who are supposed to be representatives of ours, just make these huge decisions for us is stunning. But here's the first sentence of the story. The House, with limited Republican support, passed a massive budget deal Thursday. Here's the kicker. That would free lawmakers to hit the campaign trail next year without fretting about fiscal turmoil keeping them tied down in Washington. GOP leaders, now here's something I question for people that are true believers, nonstop supporters of Donald Trump, GOP leaders, despite a boost from President Donald Trump, scrambled to round up Republican backing in the hours before the House passed the two-year, $2.7 trillion agreement on a 284-149 vote. The deal is expected to clear the Senate next week. Only 65 out of the 197 House Republicans ended up voting for the measure, rejecting the pleas from Trump and their own leadership. And this is why I tell you, man, if you like a candidate, and I know you got to stop the Democrats, they have just become so radicalized and so, just so horrible. But man, don't send your money to the RNC. So House leadership and the White House were hitting the phones yesterday trying to get Republicans to vote for this massive spending bill to add $321 billion in new spending. Republicans. Only 65 of the Republicans, to their credit, took the bait. But here's the other scam with this stuff. They made sure that they had the right votes. There were several Republicans that got that call from the Trump White House. And they said, hey, we need you to vote for this. And they go, you know, that's not going to be real popular with my constituents. How many votes do you have? And what they did was they wrangled around to try to figure out which House members could vote to get this thing done. And they allowed some of them to say, well, you can go ahead and vote no. It's okay. We're going to get this thing passed. Go ahead and vote no. And then you can go back to the campaign trail and tell everybody you took a firm stand against spending. All Mississippi representatives voted against this thing. That should be a feather in their cap. That's a good thing. But I can guarantee you some of those people might have flipped their vote if the White House had said, we can't get this done unless you're with us. There's always this political wrangling. So it was people probably, the 65 who voted for it are probably in very secure, very Republican seats where they know that they probably don't face much of a challenge, so they can expend some political capital to pay for this thing. Also, election's not until next year. Most Americans with the memory of a goldfish will forget all about this anyway. The story goes on. If the two parties had not struck a deal, $126 billion in sequestration cuts were set to come in January, ravaging every discretionary account in the federal government. $126 billion out of a $4 trillion budget. $4 trillion that they spent, over $4 trillion, $126 billion out of that would have been catastrophic. What is that? 3%. Of course, they wouldn't even take Rand Paul's penny plan, which would have allowed them to cut 1% per year. They thought that was too radical. So did they hammer out this deal because it was good for the country? Or it sounds to me like they just made sure that there was no big story about the government not functioning and shutting down while they're trying to campaign for their reelections. They spent an extra, and this is extra, right? We already know what they spend right now is out of control and will devastate this country financially when the chickens come home to roost, and they will, with the money they already spend, but they just jacked that up by another $321 billion. But Mike, Trump said it's to take care of our military and our vets. Really? Russia funds their military with about $70 billion a year. We need $750 billion. China, with three times as many people, seems to fund a pretty proficient military with $250 billion a year. They got three times as many people as we do. But we need $750 billion, and that's not enough. And within that $750 billion, we just haven't been able to take care of the vets? That sounds like some spending priority problems to me, not cash. It's not the income problem they have. It's an efficiency problem. As I've said, I think we need to bring some Russian efficiency experts over here to our military to allow them to figure out how to quite not spend so much. It goes down in the story some more. Quote, it helps everybody, including the majority, not having to deal with that at election time. This is what Representative John Carter, a Republican from Texas, who bested his Democratic opponent by 3 percentage points in 2018. So John Carter, Republican, says, passing this massive spending bill, adding another $321 billion on the backs of our children and grandchildren, he says, it helps everybody, including the majority, not having to deal with that at election time. Once the bill is signed into law, the country's biggest budget questions will be answered until well past the election, allowing lawmakers on both sides of the aisle to fundraise and campaign next year without getting stuck in Washington or tarring their reputations before voters go to the polls to pick a president and decide who in Congress gets to stick around. Quote, both sides don't want to risk a government shutdown, let alone a default, said Representative Tom Cole, Republican from Oklahoma. Nobody wants high drama event like that leading into the elections. Does this bother anybody else? I mean, they're not hiding it. They just broke through the budget caps, the last remaining vestige of the Tea Party movement. You understand the Tea Party's dead now, right? The Tea Party, with all of that political support, with all of that political energy leading into 2010, 2011, the one thing they did was set some budget caps, and they were busted yesterday. Why? Because nobody wants to be dealing with the headlines about the government shutting down or any big debates about spending. It's just easier for these people as they hit the reelection campaign trail. It's just easier for them to have that not an issue. And they were able to do it by just spending an extra $321 billion. You understand, right? That you and everybody you have ever met, matter of fact, I wonder if I could say you've ever laid your eyes on. I'll say met. You and everybody you've ever met throughout your entire life, no matter your age, if you took all of the money that you pay in taxes over the course of your entire life, barring the fact you may hobnob with people with tens of billions of dollars, if you're a Jeff Bezos buddy, maybe I'm wrong. But everybody you've ever met, every dollar every one of you ever sacrificed to send to these idiots in Washington, D.C. so that they can just throw it away on their special interest, their lobbyists, their pet projects. Every dollar you've ever sent to Washington, D.C. won't even put a dent in just the increased spending that they just agreed to yesterday. Now, I'm very disappointed in our president, and I know that makes me a heretic, a disloyal conservative, a libtard. When I come back, though, Donald Trump was campaigning very heavy for this spending bill. This is after, maybe I should find the clip, where he said on that first big budget-busting ominous bill that he signed. I know it's omnibus, but I like ominous much better. He said, I'm signing this one out of protest. I'll do this one to avoid a shutdown, but let me make one thing perfectly clear. I will never do this again. This time he was actually campaigning for this bill. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so much.
All right, someone's going to have to square this for me because I don't understand. I know it's you can't be disloyal to Donald Trump. He's been under great attack from the left and all these things. But I'm very disappointed in this for sure. I'm going to play this clip from last year, See if the date is on this. Yeah, this is March of 2018. This is Donald Trump signing the first budget-busting, debt-laden $1.3 trillion omnibus bill. This was his reaction to that and his plans going forward.
Therefore, as a matter of national security, I've signed this omnibus budget bill. There are a lot of things that I'm unhappy about in this bill.
Now, this is not the bill that passed yesterday. That has not made it to his desk yet. This is the bill from last year in March.
There are a lot of things that we shouldn't have had in this bill, but we were, in a sense, forced, if we want to build our military, we were forced to have. There
are some. When are people going to catch on to this? I'm serious. At this point, I'm just. Are we so in love with military spending, thinking there is no. There is no amount that is too much. We have almost 1,000 military bases around the world. Do you still believe we need to maintain 1,000 military bases around the world? We're threatening war with Iran. Do you know how expensive that would be? You may be real satisfied we ripped up Obama's bad agreement with the Iranians, but at what cost? How much money do you want to charge your children and your grandchildren just to get the victory of ripping apart an Obama deal? But this is the cover. This is all conservatives and Republicans and Donald Trump in this situation. It's all he needs to say to get to conservatives to forget, to ignore the crippling debt they are saddling us with. All you got to say, go out to your people, just mention the military and the vets, and we can spend as much as we want to. They'll still vote for us. They won't talk about it at all, except here on the show.
We shouldn't have had in this bill, but we were, in a sense, forced, if we want to build our military, we were forced to have. There are some things that we should have in the bill. But I say to Congress, I will never sign another bill like this again. I'm not going to do it again.
Nope. Pretty emphatic. I tell you right now, it's one of these tough, very strong statements. Let me put you on notice. Right, I'm not signing another one of these kinds of bills. He was very angry, wasn't he? Here's how the story goes on the spending bill yesterday. To secure that election year certainty, again, not to secure anything about the United States or providing services or anything to us, which I don't want the federal government to do anyway, but they don't even hide it. They wanted to secure, they spent $321 billion extra yesterday that they will lay on the backs of our children and our grandchildren to secure that election year certainty. Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle were forced to step outside their comfort zones and voting for spending levels that make them cringe. Trump had to be called upon to help. Quote, this is Donald Trump's tweet. House Republicans should support the 2-year budget agreement. That's all in caps. Which greatly helps our military and our vets. I am totally with you! Exclamation point. Trump tweeted 7 hours before the vote. The president also joined on a conference call Thursday morning to make a hard sell to several House Republicans who remained wary of voting for the bill, assuring that he would remain supportive of the deal and vowing to back them up if they walked the proverbial plank, according to a source who was on the call. So Donald Trump told him, look, you know the support I have. People will never abandon me. You go out here and vote for this budget-busting bill, tack on an extra $321 billion. I'll play up that we get some military spending on it. That always plays really well. And then when you hit the campaign trail and start getting some heat about all this extra spending and all this extra debt, I'll back you up. I'll come out on the campaign trail with you, and I'll tell them you're my guy. Don't worry about it. Go ahead and do it. And some of them said, okay, all right, I'll do it. House Minority Whip Steve Scalise said early Thursday that the president's nudge, quote, helps with some of those members who were on the fence. As GOP leaders worked to, quote, to build the numbers ahead of passage. Now, even after the legislation passed, Representative Thomas Massey, the Republican from Kentucky, offered an amendment to rename the measure, quote, I love this, and I got to tell you, those of you out there who just recoil at the idea that I'm this libertarian guy because you've been so propagandized to that being for really small limited government and getting the government off our backs is somehow kooky, Thomas Massie's a libertarian-leaning Republican, and this is what he wanted to rename the measure. Quote, this is the title he wanted to give it. A bill to kick the can down the road and for other purposes. The amendment was rejected, 47-384. I got to love. This is something I could get behind. I'm going to need to find out what 47 representatives or what 46 others other than Thomas Massie voted to have this spending bill named a bill to kick the can down the road and for other purposes. The Chamber of Commerce urged House lawmakers in a letter Thursday to vote for the budget agreement, warning that the organization, quote, will consider including votes on this legislation in our annual How They Vote scorecard. There's your Chamber of Commerce. Now, I'm not talking about your little local city Chamber of Commerce that's trying to boost the local economy by giving a platform for people to network and stuff. This is the big one, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, that wields tremendous power in Washington, D.C. See, Trump will tell you this is all about building the military and our vets, but look, a lot of people got their greasy little hands on that next $321 billion extra dollars that your kids and your grandkids are going to pony up. Under the deal, defense programs would see a 3% hike in fiscal 2020. I would like to maybe make an editorial adjustment to that. Under the deal, defense contractors' contracts will see a 3% hike in fiscal 2020, topping off at $738 billion. Domestic programs would increase 4% over current levels to a total of $632 billion, which includes a $2.5 billion adjustment for the 2020 census. Oh, look, they needed another $2.5 billion. You and every member of your family, over the course of their entire lives, will scrimp and save and pay your federal taxes like good little sheeple. You'll send it up to Washington, D.C., grumbling all the way. You'll grumble, your parents grumbled, your children will grumble, your grandchildren will grumble as they send all this money up to Washington, D.C., and y'all won't even put a dent. The collection of all of the money from your family for generations won't even put a dent just in the extra they added to the census. $2.5 billion extra. We need an extra $2.5 billion to send out some questionnaires. The agreement includes about $77 billion in offsets, which is far less than the $150 billion the Trump administration sought. These offsets are expected to kick in near the end of the decade, meaning they will likely never take effect. Isn't that odd? So they put spending offsets in there, but they put them back at the end of this thing. Not now. They're not going to make any changes now. They're just adding to the spending. But they do have some plans. In a couple of years, we're going to make some adjustments and start trying to save some money. $77 billion, to be exact. Why is Trump out there selling this thing? And why are people supporting Donald Trump going out selling this thing? Is the siren song of military spending causing you to just go to sleep and say whatever needs to be done? Again, the defense contractors got a 3% hike in their profits, but the Democrats got a 4% increase on domestic programs. So he makes this grand gesture. I'm going to leave this segment listening to him one more time. Now, people think this is a show about criticizing Donald Trump, and I'm disloyal. And you switch the channel and you go to some WGOP somewhere else on the dial because I'm not loyal to Donald Trump. No, I'm asking the question. How did we go to this bill where Donald Trump is saying, I got your back. If you go vote for this thing, I know you're a Republican and you go out there and you campaign all the time on fiscal responsibility, but forget all that. I got the juice. Everybody loves me. I'll come out there and make it all right. Just spend this money. The grandchildren will pick up the tab, 20, 30, 40 years in the shell of the country we leave them. But don't worry, I'll use my star power to get you over the finish line. And he's right. He'll be able to do that.
Terry, we were forced to have. There are some things that we should have in the bill. But I say to Congress, I will never sign another bill like this again. I'm not going to do it again.
It didn't turn out to be true, did it? I'll be right back.
All night! With the king. food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul. You're on your own.
Look, next hour I'm going to do my look back at the week of the lunatic left. I'm going to really bash some leftists. So I'm going to do my duty as a conservative talk show host. So bear with me if you can just get through this part. But seriously, am I supposed to Donald Trump holding hands with Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Mitch McConnell, and Kevin McCarthy, just stripped the last and really only meaningful accomplishment of the Tea Party? And I'm supposed to just stay silent? Don't talk about that. You don't want to erode support. You don't want to be disloyal. He's doing the best he can. If he was forced into signing the first one, said, I'm never going to sign a bill like this again, why is he now actually championing? He's on the phone. He's smiling and dialing. He's getting on conference calls telling people, I got your back. Vote for this big thing. Because Donald Trump knows, and this is why falling in love with politicians is so dangerous and so short-sighted. You can support Donald Trump in a million ways. I'm not anti-Trump. I voted for the man myself. But I sure am disappointed in him. Disappointed in him, disappointed in Republican leadership. That's why I'd never give a nickel to the RNC. I might find some Republican candidates I like to support. I'll send them some money. But the RNC is not doing your grandkids any favors whatsoever. What's our choice? I ran across this story. Did not vote, won a landslide victory in the 2016 presidential race. If its votes had been counted, did not vote would have won 41 states and 471 of 538 electoral votes. Inaction is still a choice. It means no candidate was able to inspire that person to go to the polls. Or perhaps the whole system seems stupid to them. Whatever the reason, their electoral voice is not being heard. But it should be loud and clear. The people want a none-of-the-above option when it comes to elections. Maybe then elections would make a difference. Instead of abstaining or voting for the lesser evil, you could choose no one. If no one won, then the seat could either remain vacant or a new election could be called with all new candidates. This would solve all the issues with it wouldn't solve all the issues with democracy, but it'd be a good start. And this story goes on to with the the baseball bat to the back of the head. Well, quit your dreaming, it'll never happen. Politicians won't pass laws that make their own re-election harder. I don't know what there are a lot of reasons that people don't vote. And see, a lot of people tell me, if I criticize anything that Donald Trump does or anything the Republicans do, their first immediate knee-jerk response is, oh, I guess you would have rather had Hillary. No, absolutely not. It's one of the reasons I voted for Donald Trump. I knew who Donald Trump was. I said from the very beginning, I'm prepared for him to let me down. I'm not in love. I'm not under any illusions of grandeur. But Donald Trump's campaign said things other politicians would not say. He pointed out the swamp, yet the swamp remains undrained. He pointed out the $7 trillion in the Middle East, yet we are having ever-increasing large new chunks of military spending. You understand, right, that just because you don't start a new war doesn't mean that that $7 trillion is not expanding just by virtue of adding another $150 billion a year to military budgets. We're still adding on to that figure. We start a war with Iran, you're talking about trillions of dollars more. A lot of people don't vote because they're ignorant of the process. Well, a lot of people who don't vote that I'm probably happy that they don't vote. A lot of people don't vote because they can't stomach either candidate. And then there are a lot of people out there who don't vote because they know it doesn't make a difference. Who is it that said if voting made a difference, they would make it illegal? Many people believe politicians are selected, not elected. And I don't know if that's necessarily the case, although as I spent a lot of time yesterday, so many things in this country are fake. You start to wonder, are elections really the real deal? We got a bunch of illegals voting. Have we got machines being tampered with? It certainly is within the realm of possibility. I wouldn't put anything past these people in power, as we're seeing with the Jeffrey Epstein thing or with the Russian collusion story or any of these things. They're capable of doing anything in their own interest, not ours. I would love to see a none of the above column. Nothing would humble politicians more than the American people being able to say to both of these parties when they give us two lesser of two evils candidates, we'll take a pass. Try again. Go back, see if you can find us a candidate we actually believe in. Neither one of these is good. Can you imagine? Imagine the power the American people would have again. It's kind of like the snooty people at the restaurant sending back wine. Nope, this displeases me. Not paying for that. Try again. We just keep sending them back and sending them back and sending them back until they get somebody who's actually a decent human being. People talk about term limits, but we know term limits don't matter in this two-party system because all they do is provide you with a conveyor belt of establishment candidates. If you get rid of one, the Republican Party, particularly here in Mississippi, they'll have the next one lined up well before the term limits are over, and they will prepackage and sell you the next establishment Republican candidate that will play the game. And then that one will be term limited out, and they will have another one. They've been grooming during that time, and they'll put that one on the conveyor belt, and Mississippi will say, duh, okay, and we'll vote for another one. None of the above is a fantastic idea and one that is not talked about near enough and probably wildly more effective even than term limits. I don't know. You know, I just am in the unfortunate situation of being a parent and caring about the future of this country, not who wins an election tomorrow or next week or next year, but the actual future of this country. And it makes these spending bills sickening to me.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Leaving the week behind us here on Fridays. I do my first segment here called False Flag Friday. It's a little slow. I just guess the news media knew and the powers that be knew, well, we can't hit them with too much. We want to make sure everybody's fully focused on the Mueller distraction, on the political theater that has been this Democratic attempt at tarring Donald Trump with the Russian collusion story. And so that is come and gone now. I would imagine things may kind of heat up. The things that are going on with Iran right now are not over. They're not over by a long shot. But when it comes to false flags, one of the biggest and most obvious to all of us, except the most gullible people out there, is this Russia collusion story of the Democrats. This has been an unending 2-year, 3-year, 2.5-year, whatever it's been, story of Russia collusion that was nothing but a big, fat, false flag event. Creating an event out of nothing and then trying to get the American people to believe it. These things lead to wars. Now, this has actually almost accomplished that same kind of goal while its target was Donald Trump. It was a political false flag. But it has ended up in a bit of a geopolitical problem because it stopped Donald Trump. Campaigning Donald Trump said he wanted to reapproach Russia. He said many times, wouldn't it be great if the Russians were our friends? It's one of the reasons I went to the polls to vote for the man. Because he's absolutely right. They're culturally similar to us. They're a very powerful country. They'd be a good trading partner. And you dumb Democrats piled on him so hard to where it made it politically impossible for him to make any approachment to to Vladimir Putin and the Russian as a country. And now they are teamed up with China, doing joint military exercises, trading with each other in different currencies than the U.S. dollar. You have no idea the damage that you have done to the long-term prospects for this country just because Hillary Clinton sent you out like a bunch of mind-numbed robots to carry water for her, and the Democratic Party played you like a bunch of chumps, telling you there's no way Donald Trump beat her without the help of those Russians. And the consequences of this may last for decades and may end in a real catastrophe, too. It makes me sick to think you people are this stupid. But you are. You obviously are. Because it's not ending. It's not even over. This was a false flag event. It's been exposed as a false flag event. 2 years and whatever, how many were tens of millions of dollars. How much did Robert Mueller get paid, I wonder? He obviously wasn't even involved with this. I have a feeling most of the last 2 years while Mueller was running this investigation, a lot of the afternoons were taken up by naps. Did you see him the other day? I almost felt sorry for him. Almost. But he's a deep state stooge. His decline and sliding, slithering out of the national spotlight is something we should all cheer. He's been a wrecking ball ever since he got in there. Speaking of false flags and Robert Mueller, I just want to remind everybody that this is not the first time he's been involved in deceiving the American people and being involved in a false flag.
As Director Tenet has pointed out, Secretary Powell presented evidence last week that Baghdad has failed to disarm its weapons of mass destruction, willfully attempting to evade and deceive the international community. Our particular concern is that Saddam Hussein may supply terrorists with biological, chemical, or radiological material.
There you go. Robert Mueller, one of those people selling the Iraq War, and probably at this time, I'm not sure of the timing of that clip necessarily or the timing of when they actually presented the intelligence that the Saudi Arabians funded 9/11, but he allowed us to go ahead and sacrifice, 5,000 of our troops in Iraq when he knew full well that Saudi Arabia was actually behind the 9/11 attacks, and he knew full well that there were no weapons of mass destruction there, and he knew full well Saddam Hussein was no threat to the United States, and he sold Americans the war. He sold you the war, particularly because, if you remember back then, he was a rock-ribbed, law-and-order Republican, and we all worshipped him. He can't fade away from the national spotlight faster, and I'm kind of glad he's going out in an embarrassment. As much as the mindfulness side of me, my Zen mindful side, is to wish no ill upon anybody, I can't help it. The guy's a deep state stooge, locked up innocent people, run nasty operations for the FBI, was involved in the Jeffrey Epstein slap on the wrist, involved in letting Whitey Bulger run rampant while he used him as an informant. And you leftists out there, you suddenly fell in love with the deep state. You suddenly fell in love with the intelligence agencies. You suddenly fell in love with the shadow government. You suddenly fell in love with the CIA. It shows how most people who play the hyper-partisan two-party game have no core beliefs whatsoever. None. You're waiting to find out what you think about somebody based on the politics of it. You didn't like Donald Trump, so you turned to James Clapper, John Brennan, the CIA chief. He was your hero? Yeah, you're a loving liberal, right? All for peace, love, and understanding. But your hero is Robert Mueller, who got us involved in a war we never should have gotten involved with. Your hero is John Brennan, a CIA spook. That's your hero. Now, I got to tell you, I do this almost every time. As disgusting as the left was, the right gets sucked in by this stuff too. But this Russia collusion story was the biggest false flag of the last couple of years, and at least that's finally over. As far as Iran goes right now, last few days have been quiet. And let me tell you why, I believe. Iran has actually been kind of aggressive now. Now, they're not invading anybody else. I saw something that said Iran is not, you know, in Persia. They're Persian people. They haven't invaded anybody in 3,000 years or something like that. I have no idea if that's true. I don't know the history of Iran. But I do know in my lifetime and in recent history, Iran's never invaded another country. Yet you are convinced, you are in love with John Bolton and Mike Pompeo and Mike Pence, who tell you that they must be countered, that they're this aggressive, hostile country. Are they a good country? Nah, their government's no good. Are they funding some terrorism? Yep, they're fighting a proxy war right now in Yemen against the Saudi Arabians. But you're scared of them because Mike Pence and the whale and the walrus told you to be. The reason Iran, though, I think is they're getting a little uppity. They're kind of getting a little swagger to themselves. They're saying they don't want to talk anymore. It's over. Nope, we're going to enrich uranium. We're going to take a British ship. We're going to do whatever we want to because they know that it's the end of the Trump presidency if he attacks. They're kind of calling our bluff. And we can listen all the time, all we want to, about the fact that we've got them on the ropes and we're strangling them and their economy's faltering. And any day now, that regime's going to be toppled because we believe your deep state stooges, your whale and the walrus and Pence and Rubio and Lindsey Graham and all the rest of the neocon warmongers out there are telling you, if we just starve the people enough, they will overthrow their government. Yeah, when you put a population in such a strong position like starvation and lack of medicine, it really empowers them to rise up against an oppressive government. But this is actually what they sell us. But I think Iran has kind of figured out it's not going to happen. And if we do attack, if we do finally attack, and there's a possibility we might. They might misjudge this one. But they know it's the end of the Trump presidency, and I think they know Trump doesn't want to do this, that they're going to kind of push him a little bit. It's not a good development on either side. We'll see. With no resolution in sight for Venezuela's leadership 6 months after the leader of the National Assembly declared himself president, the Trump administration appears willing to offer guarantees to Nicolas Maduro that the U.S. will leave him alone if he leaves Venezuela. A senior Trump administration official suggested that the U.S. would consider not indicting Maduro if he leaves power. That's very interesting to me. What U.S. law has Nicolas Maduro broken that would cause us, another country? He's the president of a sovereign country. He's probably a thug. He's a socialist. I wouldn't be a fan of him or his government, but we just decide whose leader we pluck out of a country and we indict him and throw him in jail. Well, the U.S. has said, well, our coup kind of failed. So I tell you what, if you'll just leave, I mean, this reeks of a little bit of patheticness. Could you just leave? We promise we'll just leave you alone. If you'll just leave so that we can go ahead and finish up this coup and get our puppet installed in there and get access to your oil for our American oil companies, we'll just let you go. And I would imagine if we got down to the nitty-gritty of the talks, it's probably something along the lines of, not only will we let you go, but we got a big old pile of taxpayer money over here. The taxpayers just keep giving us more and more of it. Matter of fact, we just got an extra $321 billion. What say we give you about 100 million of these? Go off and retire somewhere else. It'll make us look like we made some change in Venezuela. Our oil companies will be happy. We can declare some level of victory in Venezuela. You'll get $100 million of taxpayer dollars because our taxpayers don't have any idea where this money's going. It's the sweetest con job we've ever pulled. I imagine that's probably going on behind the scenes. We already did pay several people from the military. We tried to bribe them to turn on Maduro. I can't imagine we're not offering him a cushy little gig after he leaves Venezuela. So that's what's happening around the world stage right now. Not as much false flag stuff, but I'm telling you, I should probably check the headlines during this next break to see anything happens. It's such a fluid situation around the world, and we're always, this deep state warmongers, neocons in both parties are always up to such nefarious stuff that anything could happen at any single minute. You need to be suspicious of this stuff if you've never heard this show before and don't understand what a false flag is, and go up and just do an internet search of the history of false flags. And you'll find out that people around the world for all of time have been lied into these wars. All right, I'm going to start feeding the red meat to the masses. We'll start taking a look at the look back at the week on the lunatic left. I've got a bunch of clips. I feel like it kind of worked out well. I've got so much for them that it's good to take some time off from False Flag Friday. So I'll finish up the show. We'll have some fun with the radical left. Be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, in a nice segue from False Flag Friday to a look back at the week of the lunatic left, we'll take a look at the, I got to tell you, I don't like to talk about the Mueller stuff. I've said Steele dossier on this show less than any other conservative host in the continental United States, and I'm very proud about that. It's like Groundhog Day talking about that stuff over and over. I don't know how Sean Hannity does it, except I guess for, you know, $30 million a year or whatever the hell he makes. Probably $10 million a year from Fox and $20 million a year from the Republican National Committee. I guess I could stomach covering the every machination of the Mueller investigation for the last 2 years. But anyway, it is kind of funny to see the way it all ended. In a whimper and not a bang, the left threw all of their hope. They put all of their hope into this man right here. It's, you know, the reactions to the Mueller report were very similar to the reactions of the 2016 election, and I got to tell you, it was pretty satisfying. Here is Robert Mueller, the savior of the left.
The president committed the crime of obstruction. You could not publicly state that in your report or here today.
Can you repeat the question, sir? You're going to have to repeat that for me. Can you repeat the last part of that question?
Yeah. Which act? Pardon?
Can you read the last question?
The last question was
I got it accurate. I'm sorry, could you restate?
Each individual is in fact obligated to provide what's being demanded by the regulation or statute, meaning you don't have any wiggle room, right?
I'd have to look more closely at the statute.
Well, I just read it to you.
And what was the question, sir, if I might?
Correct.
And where are you reading from on that?
I'm reading from my question.
Then could you repeat it?
Okay.
Is that correct on the screen?
Can you repeat the question? And now that I have the language on the screen.
Is it correct?
And what was the question?
Pardon?
Can you read the last question?
The last question was...
I want to make certain I got it accurate. I apologize.
Sure.
Can you start it again?
Okay, sure.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that one?
Attorney number two in the Inspector General's report and Strzok both worked on your team, didn't they?
Pardon me, can you ask?
They both worked on your team, didn't they?
I know, I heard Strzok. Who else were you talking about?
Attorney number two identified in the Inspector General's report.
Okay, and the question was?
Volume two, page 87 and 88 of your report, true?
I'm sorry, could you again repeat the question?
Oh, I mean, I got to tell you, I am somebody that's full of a lot of empathy and a lot of compassion, and I'm so close to feeling sorry for Robert Mueller, but it is a fitting end to his career that he ends up in one final disgraceful, embarrassing episode where the guy could not handle his Senate testimony the other day. But the left is not done. Ted Lieu, he is one of the loudest, most screechiest of the Democrats on this stuff. He's not done. This is even after Mueller turned in that poor performance and they failed to show any collusion, any obstruction, get anywhere on anything at any time during that hearing. But Ted Lieu is undeterred.
That is what he believes. And to establish what we established today in the hearing is that we have a felon sitting in the White House. Donald Trump committed multiple crimes of obstruction of justice. Now, what the American people and other members of Congress do with that, we're going to see in the next few days. But this hearing clearly established that the president ordered Don McGahn to fire him, that the president ordered Don McGahn to then cover that up and create a false paper trail, and then the president ordered Corey Lewandowski to get Jeff Sessions to curtail the investigation. And then we went to great lengths to show how all those acts met every element of the crime of obstruction of justice. That's what we established today. And then we established that he also tampered with two witnesses. Those are all felonies, and we hope the American people see this for what it is.
I got to tell you, Ted, I don't think a lot of people came away from those hearings gleaning any of that information you just said. Ted Lieu still thinking that they really made their case on Wednesday with the doddering old fool Robert Mueller. And then I heard this, too. I guess, you know, because I kept my eye off the ball and wasn't paying attention to every bit of the Mueller stuff, I didn't know about the Trump server, the secret Trump server, communicating directly with the Russians.
On April 13th, 2018, McClatchy reported that you had evidence Michael Cohen made a secret trip to Prague during the 2016 presidential election. I think he told one of the committees here in Congress that was incorrect. Is that story true?
I can't go into it.
Got you. On October 31st, 2016, Slate published a report suggesting that a server at Trump Tower was secretly communicating with Russia's Alpha Bank, and I quote, akin to what criminal syndicates do. Do you know if that story is true?
Do not. Do not.
You do not
know whether it's true.
So did you not investigate these allegations, which are suggestive of potential Trump-Russia?
Because I believe it's not true doesn't mean it would not be investigated. It may well have been investigated, although my belief at this point it's not true.
Oh, so a nice try. Another nice try of a secret Trump server communicating directly with the Russians. Well, and that's it for me for the Mueller stuff. I couldn't resist some of that, though. When you're talking about fails on the lunatic left over the past week, you can't leave the Mueller testimony out of that. It's impossible to do this segment without it. I'm going to get to some more generic stuff. First off, really just wildly funny story about Bernie Sanders, and then just some typical leftist insanity for the rest of the show today. This is the Mike Madison Show. Stay with me. I'll be right back with that.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
The champion of working people across the United States got into a little bit of hot water this past week when his campaign staffer started complaining about, of all things, their living wages. Bernie Sanders' campaign staffers claim they're really getting burned by not being paid the $15 an hour minimum wage the Democratic Socialist advocates for all workers. The unionized employees, known as the bottom-rung field organizers, say they work a minimum of 60 hours a week, which drops their average hourly pay to less than $13, according to a new report by the Washington Post. Quote, many field staffers are barely managing to survive financially, which is severely impacting our team's productivity and morale, union members said in a draft letter that will soon be sent to campaign manager Fazeez Shakir. Some field organizers have already left the campaign as a result. The staffers say their work conditions fly in the face of Sanders' campaign platform when it comes to fair pay. He has marched with McDonald's employees for better wages and has slammed Walmart executives for paying starvation wages. The independent from Vermont has also led the fight to boost the current minimum wage, which stands at $7.25 an hour, to $15 an hour. Well, look at that. Hypocrisy knows no bounds. Bernie Sanders, just to remind everybody, the last time around, his campaign was also accused of sexual harassment. Of course, Bernie Sanders himself never knows about these issues. And he's going to launch a thorough investigation. I do a very, very bad Bernie Sanders. I apologize. But I'm sure he will get right on this. Well, I guess the kids of this country are just, it's too tough to live these days, and they need our sympathies. Where was this? Was this Washington State or Oregon? I can't remember. They'll tell us now. They've come up with a new thing for our next generation of snowflakes.
Next tonight, our series 1 in 5, Kids at Risk. Oregon is making a major change to help young people face their struggles. It's become one of the first states to allow students to take mental health days as an excused absence. NBC's Kate Snow with the story.
Haley Hardcastle and Derek Evans were seniors when they lobbied state lawmakers for a new bill. When Oregon students head back to school, they'll be allowed to call in sick, not just if they're physically ill, but if they need a mental health day.
I think the most amazing part about this whole thing is that it was student-led.
I'm personally in need of mental health days.
Derek told lawmakers he struggled with anxiety in high school.
I'm being marked absent, unexcused, can't make up these assignments because I don't have the willpower to go to school today. It's just too much, and there is no system set in place to help me.
Oregon has one of the highest rates of teen suicide in the country. It's the second leading cause of death for 10 to 34-year-olds in that state. Nationally, suicide is at a 50-year high. Under the new Oregon law, mental health days will be considered excused absences. Students won't be penalized and can make up exams.
Their parents still have to call the school. But now they can be honest about taking a day off to deal with their depression, to deal with a panic attack, to not have to be anxious about not being able to make up work.
Our biggest goal is just making sure that everyone knows that mental health is just as valid as physical health.
There has been some backlash on social media, wondering if kids will take advantage.
No!
Children are already missing school for mental health reasons. The thing is, they're lying about it. We're hoping that this gives them the opportunity to start a positive conversation about what's going on and why they need help.
It's such an interesting idea.
It is an interesting idea. Yes, the kids are being granted mental health days. Poor little snowflakes. Some days just can't get out of bed. Can't get out of bed. Now, I'll tell you right now, tiny bit of sympathy to kids these days. The food's destroying their mental capacity. There's all kinds of problems. Kids are late. And more importantly, one of the mental health things that the kids struggle with is their abuse at the hands of the left. I've talked a lot on this show about these kids that are sent out in front of cameras to talk about the fact that we're all going to die in 10 years because of climate change. I believe this is child abuse. We saw the clip of Dianne Feinstein being confronted by these hysterical children led by an even more hysterical teacher who said, are you not going to do something on the Green New Deal? We're all going to die. And these kids were seriously on the verge of tears saying, why aren't you helping us? That is child abuse. These children were as young as age 10, I believe, in this mob that I got a little satisfaction out of seeing people come after Dianne Feinstein, but they were wrong. It's more satisfying when you come at one of these politicians and really get angry with them for the right reasons, but it's child abuse. And the left knows no bounds, whether it is transgenders trying to convince kids it's okay to change your sex or giving their prepubescent children hormone blockers because one day Sammy came out of mom's closet with women's shoes on, and so now they think he should be Sally, and they give him hormone blockers that will have catastrophic health consequences and emotional consequences over the course of their life. But they're not even satisfied with that. This was the New York Times did a little audio here using the children to supposedly read letters from migrant children who were being held at the southern border. Now, as you listen to this, ask yourself, you think these are real letters from real kids? Now, keeping in mind also that, I don't know, the kids coming across the border, English probably isn't their forte, yet they've written these eloquent letters, and they get, listen to the, you can tell by the voice, the age of these children that they get to read these so-called letters from migrant children.
We came to the U.S. because there were people who wanted to hurt us.
I'm hungry here at Clint all the time.
I'm so hungry that I've woken up in the middle of the night with hunger. I'm too scared to ask the officials for any more food.
There isn't water or soap to wash our hands after we use the bathroom. We have to ask for toilet paper if we want any.
My sister and I hold a blanket up for one another so no one can see us go to the bathroom.
I am 5 years old. I am from Honduras.
I am seven years old.
I am from
El Salvador.
Asian separated me from my dad. I have not seen my father again.
I was wet when I got here and was placed in the cage without being given dry clothes.
It is so cold. I was shaking so hard. I'm the third teenage girl who has tried to take care of this little two-year-old boy. I feed him and give him water. I also take care of another little kid. She calls me Mama. She is 6 years old.
There is no room to move without stepping over the others. We were not given a mat to sleep on, so we had to sleep on the cold concrete floor. The lights are on all the time.
We cannot sleep because every 15 to 20 minutes, the guards are yelling something. Get up!
We spent all day and every day inside of that room. There are no activities, only crying.
That is child abuse. Propaganda, fear-mongering to small children who know no better. Now, on the plus side of that, I will say, if those letters are actually from the immigrant children coming across the border, that may be good news because they write and speak better than some of the high school graduates that we put out in the United States. So maybe we're importing the best of the best from Mexico. That's child abuse. It's lies. It is an orchestrated event designed to tug at the heartstrings of the most gullible Americans out there. It is disgusting. I really try to do more funny stuff here. I had to look back on Lunatic Left, and I've got a couple of them, but that is just sick. It is sick stuff. Macy's is under fire for promoting fat shaming and food guilt. After a woman posted a photo of plates with sections dedicated to different jean sizes, the smallest portion is labeled skinny jeans. And next is favorite jeans, and the largest one is called mom jeans. Allie Ward, a podcast host, tweeted the image yesterday, prompting responses from thousands of people, many of whom called out Macy's for their design, which propagates the idea. I'm sorry. How dare Macy's? Which propagates the idea that people must eat less to be skinny. Quote, how can I get these plates from Macy's banned in all 50 states? Ward wrote. People responded to her post, many claiming that Macy's is insensitive about, quote, eating disorders and body issues, and that the retail giant needs to remove the plates immediately. And I believe, as I get down here, further into the story, I believe that they accomplished their goal. Within about a day, they took the plates off the market because they were accused of fat-shaming people. And I got to tell you, as somebody who hosts a nutrition and food show and health show here every Wednesday, smaller plates and smaller portion sizes are great ideas for maintaining weight. Just the fact of getting a smaller size plate for your family if you are looking to lose some weight. And I got to tell you, looking around, a few people are facing that challenge. Getting a smaller plate and using it for everyday meals is actually pretty effective because if you'll slow down just the time it takes to go refill a small plate, sometimes your brain will say, oh, look at that, we've already had enough, instead of shoveling in a giant plate of food before your brain, the message even gets to your brain that you're full. So anyway, the snowflakes took down the fat-shaming plates. I believe it was within a day. So this is the left activism. Child abuse and commercial suppression for fear of hurting the feelings of the snowflakes across this country. I'll be right back. I've still got a few more. Cory Booker. And then I've got some that I'll really enjoy. These are some of the more conspiratorial things that I love to hear. I'll be right back. All night
with the king. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Final segment for the week as we put this one in the books. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Friday. I always want to make sure I make this announcement on Friday. Remember your pie up in Gluckstadt. If you're looking for somewhere to go, get some good food, and you can get it on a normal-sized plate. No fat-shaming plates at your pie up in Gluckstadt. You'll find them at 340 Calhoun Station Parkway up there by Germantown High School. This is the pizza place. Matter of fact, I'll be there tonight. 10-inch brick oven fired pizzas made the way you want with fresh ingredients. You can do gluten-free. You can do vegan. You can do dairy-free. You can do whatever you want to up there. They're set up for anything because you make it your way. You end the tyranny of your children always picking the toppings on that takeout pizza that you get from one of the chain stores, and you go up there and get a personalized pizza. They also have paninis, gelato, craft beers, all kinds of stuff up there. The kids will love it, but it's a great place just to go hang out. They've got televisions. You want to catch a sporting event or something like that, and it's just a real great atmosphere. Veteran-owned, so you're supporting people who have worked hard for this country and are now out there in the private sector making a go of it. That's your pie. You can also get them if you don't get up there to Gluckstadt. You can also order them on the Waiter app. So get the Waiter app, look for your pie, and order their food and have it brought straight to you. It's fantastic food. Always enjoy talking about them. And as I say, always enjoy eating the food. I'll be up there tonight. So you guys get ready for me. All right, we've got a few more of these clips. I look back at the lunatic left. This was Cory Booker. He was on the Seth Meyers show, I guess. I did not catch. I probably should have caught the late night shows. They're chronically unfunny to me now that they've been just anti-Trump. And I take my shots at Trump here myself. I'm disappointed with him in many areas, but they are just unhinged and crazy. They have just become unfunny to me. Colbert Report? I don't even know what they call him. A Stephen Colbert Show. Anyway, he's chronically unfunny. And used to be a clever guy. I got to tell you, he's a good comedian, did some good stuff on Comedy Central, and then he got this Trump derangement syndrome. It's like a virus that infects a comedian and strips out all of their funniness. This was, though, Seth Meyers, Cory Booker on there. And, you know, I got to tell you, in light of the story we just did about the fat-shaming plates, Cory Booker, I think he should be called out on this one.
I was running on an Iowa stage, and we were so psyched, hundreds of people there. I'm about to jump up, and this guy sees me, the former tight end from Stanford University. He's a big guy. He puts his arm around me, and he goes, "Dude, I want you to punch Donald Trump in the face." And I stop in my tracks, and I go, "Dude, that's a felony, man." Yeah. And, you know, Donald Trump is a guy who, you understand, he hurts you. And my testosterone sometimes makes me want to feel like punching him, and which would be bad for this elderly, out of shape man that he is. If yeah. I did that, this physically awesome. Physically weak specimen, awesome. A physically weak specimen. But you see what I'm talking there? Even that's his tactics, and you don't beat a bully like him, fighting him on his tactics, on his terms, using his turf. He's the body shamer. He's the guy that tries to drag people in the gutter. And this is a moral moment in America.
So Cory Booker goes on this. He calls Trump old and out of shape. And then he says, you know, it's Trump's tactic to body shame you. That is one of your candidates, one of your one of your choices on the Democratic side of the aisle for president of the United States. Now, there have been some other theories that we haven't explored. I'm going to say this real quick. I had a caller during the break. I want to bring this up real quick because I should add it to my health show. It's a great thing. We were talking about the fat-shaming plates from Macy's, and he called up and said he lost 65 pounds, and one of the things he did was he actually just took food and didn't put all their food on the table when they ate. Leave it on the stove, leave it on the counters, so you have to get up and go get it. Makes perfect sense, because if something is in front of us, our way is particularly engrossed in conversation or whatever else. We do a lot of mindless eating, and if something's in front of you, those arms just keep on going, keep grabbing, keep getting another piece. If you've got to actually stop, think, stand up, go get another one, you're less likely to do it. So he lost 65 pounds. I definitely wanted to pass along that nugget to people, along with the idea that using smaller plates actually does work. But I digress. All right, back to this. this guy called up C-SPAN. And he had an idea looking at, as Mueller was flailing with the Russia collusion story, and that narrative and false flag was dying a slow death. This caller, I think what he's saying is he's got another vast conspiracy as to how Donald Trump won the election. And this is, you know, this guy is on the left. I mean, this is the insanity. I am not somebody above a conspiracy theory. I know conspiracies go on. I've proven them some here on the show. A lot of conspiracy theory become conspiracy fact. I had just never heard this one before.
In Phoenix, here's James on our independent line. Good morning. Go ahead, James.
Thank you. I'm James. Now, in 2016, during the election, I was watching everything, the Eastern results and the Western results. And Hillary was leading all the way up until 11, 12 o'clock. A Sinclair, Ari Fleischer would know, asked this news thing. They brought it and broadcast results late to me that the night of the election. There. Now I'm back. I cannot say anymore, but check into the news people that they've done it before several times. Cut in to things. I trust C-SPAN. You guys know, unfortunately, I've got Robert Mueller back. And please, trust this. Trust this. I should just, I called the all others because I'm neither one, but I support you so much.
All right, let's hear from Andrew White Plains.
All right, thank you very much for that call. I think I can parse through what he was trying to say. Did I get this right? Was this a Hillary Clinton supporter calling up C-SPAN and saying the media actually colluded to throw the election Donald Trump's way? Could they actually transition from the Russians to believing that the media is the one that handed Donald Trump the election? They've tried everything else. They might as well try that one. All right. Now, I don't know. There's a partisan nature to this one. But if we're going to talk about the lunatic left, we can just talk about a lunatic, too. I love this story.
All right. Maybe you've seen the billboard near the Highland Strip or heard the story on Wednesdays Live at 9. A campaign called Birds Are Not Real.
Now, I want to tell you, this is from Memphis. So this is not that far away. This is not California. This is right here in the Deep South. Memphis, Tennessee is where this report was aired.
Brings his efforts to the Mid-South.
And this morning we are joined by one of the messengers of the movement. Peter McIndoe is here to tell us how this all came about. We want to emphasize you were not the founder.
No, ma'am.
So how did you become aware of it? What is the message of the movement?
The message of the movement is essentially to spread awareness that from 1959 through 2001, the government mercilessly genocided over 12 billion birds. And simultaneously replace them with surveillance drones in disguise that film us every day as equally as these cameras are filming us right now.
So what do you have to back that up?
To back that up, I have as much evidence as the birds have provided. There's so much.
So this is really satire. I mean, you don't really believe that that happened, correct? This is a satirical campaign to make the point that what? You're looking at me like, no, it's not satire. I really do believe this.
Honestly, it's kind of offensive.
Okay. So it's not satire.
I don't think you would say that if I said birds are real. You know, I don't know why the other side of the argument can't be treated with equal respect.
Except that before we came out on air, you said this is a satirical message. So what is
I never said that.
So what point are you trying to make here? I mean, and why did this movement come about and how?
Well, this movement came about in 1976, just to avoid any, you know, liberal media hit job. This didn't start with me. This started in 1976, when whispering started coming about from the White House, saying that birds were in the process of being murdered on a mass level. When this started coming about, that's when the movement began. This movement is reactionary. We really didn't start this. The government started this.
How do you know you've got too much free time in your hands? When you become the spokesperson for the Birds Aren't Real movement. And I guess it's persisted since 1976. I don't know. There's whack jobs on every side. I just thought it was pretty funny. I'll be keeping an eye on the birds from now on, you can guarantee. It is sad. It gives us those last two callers, those last two personalities give conspiracy theorists a bad name. That's where the tinfoil hat ideas come from. Here, you'll get only the most substantive, credible conspiracy theories. I can promise you that. That's all the time I've got this week. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. We'll see what happens over the course of the weekend, the news cycle, and see if maybe there's a new day dawning where Robert Mueller is not the lead story every week from here on out. Dare to dream. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.